Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Pokonsi.
Oh, good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, man. It's been a long time. No speak. I hope that you have been good.
Ah, blessed, my brother.
Lovely.
Yeah, again.
lovely. Now, the VOP lesson today is a question. Can I find God's in God's church today? According to the World Christian Encyclopedia, there are currently 19 major world religions, which are further subdivided into 270 large groups and innumerable smaller ones. Now, Christianity alone is made up of 34,000 denominations with differing theological views, by the way. So how can this be possible when all claim to believe in the one same God, reading the one same Bible? Why is there so much division among Christianity today?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question, but simple to answer at the same time, like an oxymoron. First and foremost, we need to establish the definition of what is the church. And I'll reserve that question for tomorrow when we unpack, because the understanding of a church will actually bring or relate us or guide us to why there's so many different denominations. But to answer some few aspects relating to the question put forth, we need to also understand Christianity itself. Not only that there's more than 34,000 separate groupings and denominations, but Christianity is one of the world's largest religions with over 2 billion followers. And itself, it is based on the life and teachings and beliefs of Jesus Christ. Its civilization to Christianity. For Christianity has had a significant influence on world history, culture, ethics, and laws. It basically framed the whole culture of morality in the world itself, right? One of Christ's prayers, right, was that I pray that they may be one. It is true that we do find separate groups, even within a group, there's groupings. And that's the sad part, you know, as much as Christ prayed that I pray that they may be one, but we find that there's various denominations and many of these denominations, they sprang up as reasons widely because of different theological views, maybe also different. It might be because of beef, brethren having beef against each other. Yeah, there may be several reasons, but far above all, it will be because of the differing theological views. But one thing for sure, Christ had established one church, and if there be thousands and thousands of theological views, amidst it all, there is one church. And that's one thing that we ought to establish. How to say that amidst the thousands and thousands of those churches, there's only one church, because Christ came to establish what is true. And individuals or group settings or family setups or so forth, the goal is to live by the truth and for the truth. For Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we cannot have many truths. There's only one truth. If they be differing religious or theological views, then that means that there may be that majority have decided to follow that which is not truth, I must put. But not only that, some may be following truth, but the persons or the founders of those churches, you know, will make a part of a truth as a denominator, I'll put it, you know, as a fact or a rule for faith, and you find that there will be followers for that particular founder of that religious setup, that we are following this person because of making a theological or knowledge view as a truth itself. I don't know if that makes sense. But however, there is one body, you know, is it what Ephesians 5:23 and Colossians 1:24, it says that it clearly equates the that the body itself represents Christ. And Ephesians 4:4, it says that there is one body, right? One body, one spirit, and we are all called into the hope of this calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all. That's Ephesians 4:4. Basically precluding that there is one body, there is one church. And if there's one body, then there is one church, and that body is Christ, and the head is Christ Jesus.
Well, quite interesting indeed. Now, you know, as you are talking, I'm thinking, well, it's a lovely way of looking at it. And another may say, well, there's another way of looking at it. I mean, if you have children, have given birth to five daughters, not all of them will have exactly the same experience with you as a parent. You know, the one child will experience you in a particular way, and the other will experience you in a particular way as a parent, etc., etc. And all of them will particularly experience you differently. And so when they talk about you, at some point you may not think they're talking about the same person. But actually, yes, because one says my dad or my mother is like this and explaining and explaining. And so would it not make sense then that it's actually reasonable that you would have people understanding God according to their own, you know, perspectives?
Differing views. It's a very good question. Even in a household, there are rules. In a household, there are laws that should govern how each respective member should, you know, provide how they should hold themselves in the house. I think there's an echo something.
Yeah. Can just move around a bit.
Just a moment.
Okay. It is 19 minutes after the hour, 4 o'clock. We are talking to Elder Sam Pukonsi, talking to us about Can I Find God's Church Today? Yes, are you sorted, Elder?
Yes, I'm sorted.
Okay.
Yeah, a bit of echo, so I couldn't hear properly.
Okay.
Yeah, so even in the house, right, there are laws that have been established. God has established his laws, right, as to govern our individual temperaments, however they may be differing, right? But they are all pointed, all of them are pointed to the mind of Christ. Hence, Paul, you know, he says in Philippians, let this mind which was
Be also in you.
Department. You know, our strive is to be like Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? We may view God differently, and but the high supreme annotation per se is that, you know, I need to have the character of Christ Jesus in me. Once I have the character of Christ Jesus, and once my brother have a character of Christ Jesus, once my sister is a character of Christ Jesus, it brings that oneness. Does it make sense? You know, we may not be of the same in terms of character, so in terms of department, right? But one, what makes us the same is that we are all striving to be like Christ Jesus, striving to have the fruits of Christ Jesus, you know, to have love, to have joy, to have peace, to have patience, kindness, self-control, all these attributes of the fruit of it does not really, you know, it doesn't need a different temperament. Does it make sense? So you may be choleric, you may be melancholic, you may be phlegmatic and so forth. We all call those temperaments and so forth, you know, but it does not disassociate a person, you know, from those fruits, from those attributes of the fruit of the spirit. So our goal as Christians, even though the differing views or theological views, right, the one central point, the one centric view, the one central part is that we all must strive to have the character of Jesus Christ. Hence, if you read Revelation 14, verse 6 to 12, you know, it speaks about the three angels' messages. It's all about the character of God. You know, the last message to the world is about the character of God, whereas it needs to be vindicated, and it can only be vindicated by those who are called, right? When it says, fear God and give him glory, what is God's glory? God's glory is his character, right? Whereas Paul says in Romans 3:23, he says that we have all sinned and run short of God's glory. Mm. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So we've run short of God's character. So when it says, fear God and give him glory, give God, give, represent, reflect, manifest God's character to the world, right? So even Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says that whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. Do it all to the character of God. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So the last eternal message to the world, right, is God's character. So even in your theological view, the question should always does it represent God's character?
Mm.
And if it doesn't represent God's character, then it's not part of the gospel. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So God's character should be the supreme centric, you know, rule of faith, even in the house. If I love my brother, we're living in the same house. If I love my sister, right, but we view our father and mother differently, but what joins us together is love.
Yeah,
does it make sense?
Yeah,
we may view God differently, but once we all share the same attributes, right? So the other thing I need to establish as about to roll off. One of the things I need to establish that given that we're all part of the body of Christ, and remember in Ephesians 4 verse 4, it says that there's one body,
and that
one body is the church. Are we together?
Yeah, yeah.
And in this church, there's laws, there's commandments. You know, Christ says, you know, that even though you see heaven and earth, you know, not even a jot or title shall be passed. And he came to fulfill the law of God. So basically, by allowing Christ to be your exemplar, so you're basically fulfilling the law of God. And one of the centric themes of being part or being members of the body of Christ, Ephesians 4 verse 15 to 16, it says that the members of the body of Christ are joined to Christ in salvation. Mm. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Those are some of the attributes of being, of belonging in this household of faith, even though we may be seeing our father differently, you know. But one thing that joins us is that Christ is our salvation. And Ephesians 1:22-23 says the members of the body of Christ follow us. Christ is our head. Principle of being part of this house, even though we see God differently. One of the outlines is found in Romans 8, verse 9. It says that the members of the body of Christ, they hope for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of Christ in their hearts. Right? So we need, you know, members of the body of Christ daily, they should have this thing that it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Oh, yes.
You know? So my brother whom I treat differently and who sees, so my brother who sees my father differently, you know, and I see my father differently, right? It should not be about I, but it should be about the Christ who lives in me. How does he see my father above? And how the Christ who lives in me, how does he treat the next brethren?
It's beautiful what you are saying, because then it will curb all the intolerance. I call it religious intolerance, you know, because, you know, of a different religious ideology. I mean, we see a lot of hostility, violence, etc., simply based on religion. And so if all of us can adopt exactly what you are saying, seeing the next person as my own brother, this will actually alleviate all those unnecessary issues. Now, Is there any hope of bridging, you know, the gaps that separate us into so many different Christian religious groups?
The bridge is the truth itself, my brother. You know, you counted so many thousands and thousands, about over 24,000 Christian churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if whether they included some of the churches in South Africa.
Because it's a world
I believe there's even more. Even more.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed, which is more of common practice, even amongst those churches, is that the Bible is not being read. Christ Jesus says that you search the scriptures, but they are they that testify about me. In most denominations, the Bible is not being read, and it is made of non-insignificant, you know, non-significant. And that's where my concerns are, right? I'm talking about most denominations. And partly that, you find that there'll be denominations where the churches are established, but the Bible is wrongly interpreted. Does it make sense? They read the Bible, but it's to another man's mind. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So they will follow an individual who will say that I've received a book, and in this book, this is how we need to interpret a Bible. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
I will not aforementioned any names. Does it make sense? You know, so it's a problem, you know, if that book and goes in opposition to what the Bible says. So the Bible should be the rule and thumb, you know, of any man's mind who comes with suppositions or who comes with visions. That makes sense. You know, so if we use the Bible as the rule and guide, anything that comes, it will either be our thumb. You know, so hence David says that, you know, thy word is as a lamp unto my feet. A light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path, right? So by neglecting the Bible, we open a floodgate of allowing anything which goes against opposes the scriptures. And thus we will take what man's thoughts are and make a movement out of men's thoughts or men's ideologies or men's perceptions. So it's a danger. It's a serious danger, you know. And that's what we find, you know. So the bridge, you know, one other thing that we will establish to me is Christ has his followers in each and every denomination. And he says, my sheep voice. And the and the self, it's in the truth of the gospel itself. Fear God and give him glory. The hour of his judgment is come. Worship he made the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything they eat. Believing into the eternal God, even things to come before Christ comes. So if the Bible is clear or outlines the state of the dead, take it as it is, truth as it is. Does it make sense?
If
the Bible is clear and outlines about the day of worship that God has set, we take it as it is, clear as it is, that is the truth. If the Bible is clear about the second coming of Jesus Christ, that there's no rapture, you know, we take it as it is, that we are our greatest hope, it isn't the second coming of Jesus Christ. So one needs to go back to the scriptures and search deep what is the truth. The God is there, he never leaves one in darkness. he or she will be guided by the Holy Spirit in order to understand the scriptures.
Yeah. Now, you know, when I was just asking you about, the bridges and how we build those bridges, and you said it's the truth that will help us to actually build those bridges, and the truth and only the truth. But the interesting thing is, are people truly still interested in the truth? Because I don't know. I have a sense that maybe the truth is not a point of interest here. Maybe the excitement that comes with being in inverted commas the Church of God. Maybe the excitement being prophesied on by the man of God. Go deep, Papa. Is what is expecting us. Is what is exciting people. Not necessarily the truth. Do you think the truth still matters?
You know, the first question that have ever been asked in the world, do you know what's the first question?
Mm-hmm.
Where was the question from?
It was from the devil.
Yeah.
Did God really say?
The first question ever asked. That's the first question ever asked in the world.
Mm.
And the first question ever asked was, to doubt God's word.
Mm.
And, you know, I always say that people are not impressed by what is written. It's because there's less of those who are living according to what is written.
Mm.
We can never convince people about the truth that we uphold while we are hypocrites.
Yeah.
While we fail in keeping to what is written. There are people who never go to the scriptures and be converted. But there are people who will see you and be convicted by the truth. Hence, Paul says we are living epistles. So we know that Satan deceived. That was the first question. Mm. It was through deception, and he still used deception even till this day. You know, of those who join those group settings that go deeper, Papa. We know that it's all about deception, but it doesn't mean that God has no children there. God has children there. And once they hear the truth, or once they see someone who's living by the truth or what is written, they will be impressed. And then, you know, there's power in influence. You know, in how you live, people are reading you, by the way. You know, you may never think that people are not reading. People are reading your character. And your character, it's influence itself. It's a pebble, you know, that will save thousands whom you know not about. The one person who is convinced and, you know, and love how you so congruent with the scriptures can change the person's life, who will change other thousands. You know, we must never take light the power of God's word. You know, as Paul writes, that his word is living and powerful, and you know, going deeper, you know, even to the center of the heart. It penetrates even deeper. So God's word, if we live by God's word, the much influence that it will change people's life, we must never take light of it.
Yeah.
So people, most denominations are because of deception. And most denominations, the founders are making merchandise of the individuals, you know, of the people. They are not leading people to God, but they're leading people to I can do this, I do this, I work what. And those are one of the attributes that one needs to be alerted about, or that, you know, if the founder of the church magnifies himself in my denomination and I need to pay in order to see him, then you need to question that denomination. I think those are just one of the attributes that if I need to pay to see the person preaching, that person, I need to pay in order to see Papa, I need to pray in order to see Prophet Mamang, then you need to question. Because Christ, that was not Christ's character. So even in the founders, match them according to how Christ lived and walked. Christ Jesus, he was of he who was the king of the universe, decided to be so humble to such that the outcasts of Israel were able to sit with him. That was his character. Neither did he make merchandise of anyone. Neither did he make merchandise of salvation that he came to bring forth into this world. That was his character. So it becomes dangerous while we're still clinging to this man-made found ideologies that have been theologically embraced into a church. Does it make sense? So allow the Bible to be the centric theme, to such that there's no classes in whatever denominations you may see yourself, there's no classes at all, but you all see each other the same. You know, there's no Papa, there's no Mama, but we are all the same when we come before Christ. Of course, God gives different gifts. Does it make sense? He gives different gifts so that we may edify each other, but it doesn't mean that there's one gift which is superior than the other.
True.
So, even though in Christianity, you know, we find there's several major branches within Christianity. Of course, you find Catholicism, right? Which is one of the largest branches. We find Protestantism. You know, this is the Reformation, that true Reformation that came about, reforming against Catholicism. And you also find Eastern Orthodoxy, right? So in all these three branches within the Christian Christendom, right, one needs to, you know, swift, you know, search deeper the scriptures, or which of these three am I in, right? And even though you are in Protestantism, you know, one needs to search even deeper, or which church is the right church that follows the Lord's truth? Because in all churches, whereas one branch from each other, it was because of the truth that they may have found. Does it make sense? You know, so you find various Protestantism movements, you know, Protestant movements, but they will differ because of one branch from each other because of the truth. And we stand in vantage good grounds, because now we can look back and say, oh, this is why the church differed from this, because of this. And we can now search this topic from the scriptures. But during the Middle Ages, the scriptures were rare, they were scarce, that only the bishops and the clergy were allowed to read the scriptures. You know, so people were left in darkness, to say that there was not much of civilization. But now we stand in good position now, where we can look back and to say, you know, this is why this church was found. Oh, this is why this church was found. So that's that we can gather the truths from how they differed. Does it make sense? So from the truths of how they were gathered. Baptisms, they branched because of this is the right way of baptizing, and these are the scriptures which they found. Methodists, this is the reason why they branched, you know, because they saw Christ's methods, you know, and they've used this very particular. Now, one's duty is to collect all these truths together. That makes sense?
Yeah.
And in gathering all these differing theological views, it makes one truth, correction, it makes one truth, you know, in collecting all these theological views that are built on the scriptures, because now we stand in good position, whereas we've got access to the Bible, you know, freely access to the Bible, you know, and much. Daniel says knowledge shall increase in the end.
My elder, it's a beautiful one, man. It's a fantastic one. I think we can actually talk until cows come home, as they say in my language. Let's pick this up tomorrow, because there's a lot to be said. We're completely out of time. Thank you so much, though, for joining us for today.
Bless you and the listeners.
Lovely. Thank you so much, eh?
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.